Good afternoon, and welcome to another podcast from Christian Waywell. Today I'm going to be focusing on a device which is kind of interesting. It's a Freeview television digital box. Before I do that, I want to get into some background about the box first, and well, how digital television came about, really. In the early days, television was generally accepted down the aerial as an analog signal. Really, television has remained that way pretty much from its inception in the very early 20s. Digital television is the new standard. It's arrived in the sort of the 90s, really, late 90s, beginning of the 2000s. But let's take a look at how television's evolved before we get too far into the new standards and all the rigmarole that's involved in various aspects of television and this. In the early days of television, as we know, the television signal was carried as an analog stream. Up till the early 90s, this was the only form of TV that was available. It was known as terrestrial television. Now, terrestrial television then got, as I care to call it, it got a friend, it got a partner. It was known as Sky or satellite television. This was really amazing because it gave so many more channels than what terrestrial television could offer. Now, the new standard, as we care to call it, digital television, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, that is still known as terrestrial, but it's digital terrestrial now. Sky was, or still is, quite popular for those that can afford to subscribe. But another venture really kicked off when the cable companies kind of came in into UK and brought their offering, which was cable television. To start with, all this was done in the analog domain. All television signals, whether it be cable, whether it be satellite, whether it be terrestrial, were all in the analog domain. Now, as technology progresses, we see that everything is moving digital. And we got digital satellite, digital cable, and the standard which I will be talking about today, Freeview or free to air. Now, how can you convert an analog television to use a digital signal, you may be thinking? Well, in the case of televisions at the moment, you buy what they call a set-top box, often known just short as an STB. Now, these little boxes are essentially a digital to analog conversion and coding, encoding, decoding, whatever you want to call it, unit. There's a sort of a processor or a computer in there which decodes the signal and converts it into a domain which the television can use, which is analog. Modern televisions or new televisions starting to hit the shelves now do have digital Freeview built into them. But mine, sadly, isn't new enough to do that, so I bought a box which connects to the back, and it gives you that digital feel, it gives you that digital capability. The box I'm going to be talking about is made by a French company called NetGem, NetGem, all one word. They, I believe, have been doing things like this for a while. I don't exactly know the history of NetGem, so I'm not going to really attempt to go into any of that for fear of getting it wrong. Television Freeview boxes or set-top boxes, also used for cable and Sky, essentially are a small computer which takes the digital signal, decodes it into analog format, and then outputs that to your television in whatever way that you want in terms of connections. Now, in Europe, in the UK, and possibly some other places, I don't know, we use, there's different standards. You've got the RCA connectors, like the red, yellow, white, black combination, which I'm sure you guys in the US will be familiar with. And we also have a 21-pin connection called a SCART. Now, S-C-A-R-T. I don't know what it stands for, but what this does, it is a 21-pin connector. It looks like the old-fashioned printer cables, the end that connects to the parallel port on the PC with the pins, not the other end that goes to the printer or other parallel print Syntronics compatible device. It's got 21 pins, and these pins serve various purposes. They allow, some of them allow the television to sense when the device has been switched on, and it will switch over to using the SCART socket. Particularly useful with DVD players is this one, because when you activate a DVD player by turning it on with its remote control, it will send a voltage to the television, and the television will know that that device has been turned on, and it will switch to using that SCART socket. So you don't have to going into your television menus and saying, okay, I want this AV channel through this input here, whichever. The televisions with SCART sockets just do it, providing the lead is wired correctly. Generally, if you buy a SCART lead, it's wired up to do it, and it will work fine. They are a useful, I mean, on the early days of SCART sockets, you had to, on a television I once had, you had to switch it from television to SCART by pressing a switch inside. There was a button, you opened the front door, and there was a button that you pressed to toggle into SCART mode. Okay, so enough about SCARTs and what they do. They're not really important, but the SCART socket is what I'm going to be using for my review. Now, my NetGem is currently turned off at the back. So let's take a walk on over to where the NetGem is, and I will describe the look and feel of the box. The box is a small rectangular affair with a rounded top. It's got a number of ports on it, which I'll describe. You have, as you look at it from the front of it has nothing on it. It's just smooth. As you work round towards the left, we're going to work from front round the left and round the back. As we move on to the left-hand side, there's what appears to be a panel. On this panel, there is a slot at the bottom which looks like the old-fashioned, well, I don't know about old-fashioned, but what laptops use for expansion, the PCM CIA cards. It is not actually used for that, although a PCM CIA card would fit it because the physical size is right. It is used for what they call a CAM, C-A-M, control access module. What a control access module does, and I don't actually have one of these because I don't need it really, what a control access module does is allows you to use pay-per-view services with these boxes. We have one here in the UK called Top Up TV, which is, I don't know what the prices are to get this. It's a bit like Sky. you pay a subscription and you get services delivered through it, TV programs, that kind of thing. And it works like Sky. You pay a fixed subscription per month or per week or whatever it is. I can't remember how it's done. Or you can buy credit, which will take you through, say you can buy a month's worth of credit or whatever at a time. You're not bound to a contract, as far as I know. You buy it when you want it. You're not fixed for a year, say, like you would be with satellite providers like Sky. So that's essentially what that slot does. Moving further, just above that, is a slot which on these particular boxes is blocked off. On the new NetGem, the NetGem iPlayer Plus, both the audio description model and the standard model have done away with the original CAM slot, and they've gone on to software encryption. And this slot above the CAM slot allows you to plug the pay-per-view card straight into the NetGem itself. Moving further back on the left-hand side, to the very back corner, you have a USB connection. This is used in a very limited way. I've actually used it for connecting external devices. I've actually had this iRiver connected to it, and it sees it as a storage device. I've got the iRiver H340 here, which I'm doing the recording of this review on, mainly because I can get near enough to the TV. I'm just checking my battery levels, sorry about that. Okay, so that connector can be used to get the thing talking to storage devices, so you can play media, you can play music in MP3 format, you can do quite a bit with it. Around the back, as we go around the back, we have two cables coming in. One feeds the digital signal from the aerial up on the roof, or the antenna, as we're going to refer to it as. And the other one feeds the signal down to your... Because you can still use these, if you've got analog television, you can still use analog. The other one just loops the analog signal through to your television. You don't have to have the NetGem turned on if you don't want. You don't have to be using digital television if you don't want to use it. The next socket along is a digital optical output socket, which you need a special square kind of lead with a funny sort of wire. A lot of people have maybe used these already for hi-fis and things like that. It uses light to convey the signals to another device that understands those patterns, signals, and various other things. Then we move along a bit more, and we've got the 1/8 inch stereo jack, which is used for an analog line out. A little bit further along, and you have the first of two SCART leads, or sockets, provision for the leads. The first one interfaces the NetGem to your TV set, and the second allows you to take the slightly different output for video recording. The first output that you send to your television allows you to have the menus appear. The second output doesn't have the menus, so if you're recording something and you want to make settings to your NetGem, you can make the setting changes using the menu. Well, a sighted person can. Unfortunately, we can't use the menu, but I'll talk about what the features we have available to us are in a minute when I turn it on. Essentially, what I'm getting at is, if you're making changes to the settings and you had the NetGem connected up to the video using the first socket, you would basically get the menus appearing in your video recording, which I'm a bit stupid because mine's set up that way. But the reason for that is I don't have enough SCART leads on my television. I've only got one that works. The other one's not compatible with it, so I had to just make do with the one that was enabled for video recorders. I'm using the RGB connector. I've got another connector, but my DVD player's not, and player/recorder doesn't seem to be too happy using it. It will use it, but the quality doesn't seem as good. So I'm sort of cheating a bit, and I'm using the NetGem through the video deck, and then the deck to the telly that way. You can do that, but as I say, if you're videoing, just make sure you don't need to go in and change your setting, otherwise it gets recorded. The second port doesn't do that. If you wanted to use the second SCART socket, you could connect that to your video if you've got enough SCARTs on your telly to support all your equipment. So moving on, just past the two SCART sockets, we have the RJ11 connector. You might be thinking, okay, that's a modem jack, isn't it? Yes, it is. This device can get onto the internet via modem, and you can also get onto the internet via broadband, providing you have a suitable Ethernet, USB dongle, or a wireless dongle which are compatible with it. I don't have a list to hand of as to what is available and what isn't, but they do exist. You can get them from NetGem, I think. I will give you the address of the website at the end of the review. It does come with the 56K modem lead to connect to your phone socket, along with a suitable splitter. So, moving along still further to the right, you have the rocker switch, which is quite tactile. When you click it, it gives a definite click to let you know that you've turned it on or off. And the last port on the left-hand side, on the right-hand side, is the power lead input, which is your standard cassette player two-prong figure of eight kind of socket that everybody's familiar with. Moving around to the right some more, and you've got the right-hand panel, which has nothing on it. It's just a blank panel. And then we're back around to the front. So, let's describe the remote control. Now, the remote control is a funny. Sorry about that. The remote control is a funny little thing. It's sort of, I call it rocket shaped due to the way it's made. Sorry, I just had to bend down and pick something up and drop something and I couldn't find it. But I've got it now. We're okay. We're good to go. We're good to go. The remote control is your standard fare. You've got your normal nine buttons. You've got one, two, three on the top, four, five, six below that. The five has a nib on it, incidentally, which is good if you want to orient yourself to the controller. The seven, eight, and nine are just like the one, two, and three. There's nothing on markings on them, but because you've got the nib on the five, that's pretty good. Then below that, you've got clear, which is just represented by a letter C. That's like your delete key. Zero and list. Then you have your interactive buttons, which are colored buttons: red, green, yellow, blue. Below them is a five-way navigation control, which is sort of a bit like what you'd find on the Nokia phones, actually. The middle section is okay. The left, right, up and down arrows have actually got little tiny arrows imprinted on them. You can feel those. You then have the, to the left of that, there's like a sideways, like letter C shaped button. It's sort of the same width as the same height as the Navi. And the right-hand side of the Navi, there's the same. The one on the left is used for changing the volume output of the NetGem. The one on the right of the Navi is used for changing the channel. If you want to step through them sequentially, you can use that button to do so. At the bottom of the Navi, there's a smiley face shape button. It's the same curvy shape as the two side ones, but it goes the other way, so it looks like a smiley face sort of shape. That is back and next. We'll talk about that when I turn the box on, because when I tune the channels in, I mean, they're already tuned, but I want you to hear what the box actually does when you're tuning it. Just below that, to the left-hand end and the right-hand end of the back and next button, is text and list. Text and info, sorry. The text button you don't need often. Info, if you're using channel 900, you can use that to, I think you use that to repeat information, I'm not sure. Then you have mute, picture in picture, which we don't use, but it's on the remote, and the NetGen will use it for sighted users. Menu, which we use in combination with two other buttons, and power on off, which is the standby. It puts it into standby. You have a master switch on the back of the machine itself, which we can use if we wanted to. Okay, so I'm going to take a walk over to the box now, and we're going to turn on the television. Okay, we're running. So let's just turn the TV on. There we go. I've put the TV on a random channel. I've put it on channel 0 so it's not making any noise. There's no programs on at this point on this channel. So I'm going to turn the NetGen on at the back. We will notice when the NetGen comes to life, a picture on the screen appears, and then the NetGen will interact with me, and it will tell me, it'll say welcome.
Welcome.
That's a bit loud.
Please wait.
There we go. Let's turn the volume down a bit on that, and I'll redo that. I don't want that to be too loud, otherwise you won't actually hear it too well. Let's do that again. There we go. The TV's now on.
Welcome. Please wait.
So now we have the TV on, and we're looking at a blank screen again. The NetGen has powered up, it's done its power on self-test, and it's gone into standby. If I turn it on...
BBC Two.
Lord Fowler says that the licence...
So we're now on channel BBC Two. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to find a channel that's got nothing on it.
BBC Three.
There we go. There's nothing on there at the moment. I'm now going to go through in the tuning process how to tune the box. Now, on this remote control, a blind person has access to a limited subset of functions, but the two most important are the voice updates, which you get to by pressing menu and green, and the channel tune, which you get to by pressing menu followed by yellow. So I'm going to do that now. Press menu and you press yellow.
Press next.
It's saying press next. So I'm going to do that now, and you'll hear the channel name has been announced as it tunes.
Please
them.
Wait.
It's quite a good box, to be fair. There's about 88 different channels. Some of these that are not known, as it tunes them, will
BBC One,
not be
BBC
announced.
BBC Two, BBC Three, BBC News 24, BBC I, CBBC.
So it's just got the first six now. It's waiting. It's just tuning through the frequency bands now. I need to find something that's interactive so we can actually show you what the interactive audio description side of it is like.
ITV1.
Here we go.
ITV3. ITV2. Channel 4. E4. Teletext. Teletext. Teletext on 4. 5. QVC. ABC1. BidUp TV. BBC Radio 1. BBC Radio 2, BBC Radio 3, BBC Radio 4, Heat, Mojo.
As you can hear, the
Teletext Holidays.
The voice is pretty good.
Movies, UK TV Style, Cartoon Network, Discovery, Television X, Boomerang. So
as you can hear, there's quite a lot of channels.
UK TV Gold, Price Drop TV, Red Hot, Teachers TV, Bloomberg, UK TV Food, BBC Parliament, BBC 4, CBeebies, Radio 5 Live, BBC 5 Live Sports Extra, BBC 6 Music, BBC 7, One Extra BBC, BBC Asian Network.
So as you can see,
701 Interactive,
there's a lot of channels.
702 Interactive,
88 in total
703
at the moment.
Interactive, Community Channel, The Hits, TMF, UK TV Bright Ideas, FTN, Ideal World, KISS, Smash Hits, Kerrang, One Word, BBC World Service, The Hits, Magic, Q, 4TV, Interactive, Sky News.
So there's quite a few interactive things that you can do with this box.
UK TV History.
I actually quite like it because it's just a great machine.
Premier Radio, 3C, Uplay Games, BBC One, BBC Two, BBC Three, BBC News 24, BBC I, CBBC. Press next.
So now it's finished doing its scan. Before I move on, I'm going to describe what the audio description service is about. I mean, you guys in America have it on movies, but we actually have it on television programs too. Essentially, they narrate what is happening, like if somebody's moving into a room or going out of a room, say, something like, John enters the pub. He sees Jane talking to Joe, that kind of thing. And it's really good. So we're going to press next and we're going to see what's on.
BBC Three.
So I was tucking me back to that. Let's try BBC One by pressing button one. It didn't interact. Why does that not work? Oh dear. We've got a problem. The box has died. I think the remote's gone.
Welcome. Please wait. BBC Three.
Hopefully we should be back online. Yes, we are.
ITV
One. We're now working again.
Here we are.
That noise you heard, that chord with a did it at the end, is indicating that the channel has audio description.
0.008% of their body weight, whereas ours is 2%. Women's are 25% heavier as a result relative to their body weight. So women are 25%.
We had a slight problem there. I had to reboot the preview box, but we're up and running again. The recording didn't actually get paused, but.
So they've got these sharks and put
in. So I'm going to move up the channels and see if I can find one with audio description.
The combination of the conflict and the drought.
Five.
Photos to prove it. Go on, it's all here. Now you have to believe me. She's the one in the wrong.
It's not working.
What? It was a second ago. There's one of them hugging him and I want to be kissing him. Just wait a sec, I'm just gonna get to work. I'm not making this up, I promise. After I sprung her at the hotel, she followed me back here and then she attacked me.
Amanda attacked you.
In the car park!
Right, I'm just trying to find the channel with audio description.
That must be why it's not working.
Is any of this true?
Well, she's right. I mean, we did struggle and the phone did drop to the ground, but she's the one that attacked me and for no reason whatsoever. She's lying! I stayed at my sister's last night.
Right, I'm gonna see if I can find something.
Excuse me, Your Honor, I'm sorry.
I'll get to you.
Where did this friend of yours live? That
okay.
BBC 3.
Let's just step through a few
BBC
channels.
BBC 1.
Last few bits then.
Yeah.
This isn't
BBC
very...
BBC 2.
That was a very difficult backdrop to have any...
Yeah. ITV 1. It's quite difficult actually to find something with audio description on it.
Since 2000.
At certain times of the day.
Because the space shuttle wasn't working properly. These things are bubbling away.
It's quite difficult to...
6 or even up to 9. And when it's completed, it was 16 more shuttle flights to complete it.
Yeah.
And then we can have 6 or 9 people up there.
So they've got more bits to take up.
There's quite a lot more bits, yeah. And
so as you can hear, the quality of the sound is pretty amazing.
Get on with going to Mars. What they want to do.
When
it's
finished, when it's finished,
I'm going to step through the channels and see what I can find.
ITV2.
So it might be something on here.
That makes a big mess.
And not if they're.
BBC3, unknown channel. BBC4, ITV3.
Let's see what's on here. Might be something here.
It takes one guy to say no, but just one.
Starring Woody Allen.
I'm looking for a program that's going to have audio description so you can hear. Because it's knowing what there is on at the time.
Come on, in you go.
So what kind of mileage do you do?
Well, I only drive at weekends.
That'll lower your insurance quote.
Don't touch the boots, love.
It's the television with Freeview is quite good. I would say that if you haven't got a box and you need something with the audio description to get one of these particular machines, the NetGem ADI player, or if you can get it from their website, and you can order it directly from them, but visit the website to get the NetGem office phone number, because I actually currently don't know that. So I'm going to try looking for a channel.
Sky Travel.
As you can hear,
UK TV history.
As I change channels, it announces where I'm going.
Unknown channel.
It says that if it doesn't know what a channel is.
Are you saying that?
It's quite good actually, the way it works is really clever. Let's move on again.
E4.
I'm looking for something. They're all adverts at the moment.
ABC 1.
There's just nothing on at the minute.
Together, now we're going to do some free fighting.
Let's go back.
ABC 1.
See what we can do.
Check out our website, BBC.
BBC 2.
Half people.
No, there's nothing wrong with audio description.
ITV
if there was,
one.
I would be quite.
ITV 2.
I'm trying to find it. I'm just having.
He doesn't want us asking him any more questions. Monday
right.
Morning.
Okay.
ITV.
Having a few problems here.
Actually 350 million.
Doing this.
Only fish. And the fish crawled out in the sea about 350 million years ago.
Okay. Okay, we're back. I've found a channel now of audio description.
Meanwhile, Lucas has prepared a romantic red table setting for lunch.
So what they're basically doing is they're sort of interacting, and the bits where it's visual, the audio description fills in. It's an actual service carried by the channel, which the audio described version of the ADI player can pick up. The audio description side of this can be only picked up with the iPlayer with the audio description software enabled. And I think there is a PCI card that you can put in your PC that does the same. But I'm not 100% sure as to whether it does or not. I'm going to go back to that for a second so you can hear a bit more of how it works.
Do you want to sit down?
Oh, this looks amazing. What a gorgeous rose.
It's for you. I hope you like red.
Leah.
I knew I shouldn't have gone left back there.
Then why did we?
Because you wanted to see what was on top of that hill, remember? Now this stupid road isn't even in the map.
It's because it wasn't there in 1989.
Okay.
I don't
wonder what you've got to be grumpy about anyway. You didn't have to just squat behind a tree for the 70 millionth time. Do you have any idea how tricky it is to balance?
Okay, what I'm going to do now, I'm just waiting.
It doesn't matter anyway.
Just so you can hear a bit more of audio description. It's not bad at all. What they basically do is they
reaches inside the car and pulls out her phone.
There we go. We've effectively got
nothing. I don't believe this.
Nor do I.
It's hard work keeping an addiction.
Okay, I'm going to go now and talk about where you get the iPlayer from, the website. I don't have the phone number contact information for NetGem, but if you go to the website, which is at www.iplayer.co.uk, you will find information about it there. I can be contacted. Well, I'll actually do the contact information now, and then I'll do a little thank you bit at the end. I can be contacted via email at kwhawell@kwhawell.plus, which is plus.com. If you want to contact me on Skype, if you send me an email, and let me know when you're going to Skype me, send me your Skype details, and we can arrange a time to Skype. No problem there at all. So I now want to move on to the final section of this podcast. I want to say a big thank you to Claire Bland, Mark Ellis, Lynn Reaper, and mostly importantly, Hope Povenmire, for being really good friends, and Hope, you know, there's something, you know, just being supportive and just been the great people that you all are. I can't thank you all enough for things. I want to say a big thanks also to everybody on the Blind Cool Tech mailing list. And a big thanks must go out to particularly people like Neil Ewers and Lynette Tatum and everybody else on the mailing list, Mary Emerson, the lot of you, everybody who's interacted with my postings to the mailing list, I just want to say thanks. So, it's now time to call this a day. This is Christian Waywell, wishing you a good day. Thanks for listening. And please don't hesitate to contact me if you have any questions about any of the reviews that I've done in the past. And I will be back to do some more. Many thanks.